Burn Line Podcast. The burn line on a well-crafted cigar is straight and sharp as a razor, much like our wit and wisdom. And what is up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, over the age of 21, you are listening to Burn Line Podcast, coming to you not live from the Hot Box, the smoky back room where deals are struck and fortunes are made, adjacent to the Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge, nestled amongst the complex of rooms that comprise Davita Cigars, Westminster, Maryland, USA. The only Rocky Patel Cigar Lounge in the state of Maryland for the time being. I'm Johnny Midas.
And I'm Alfumo.
And we smoke cigars.
We do.
And today we are smoking
Amazon Basin.
CAO Amazon Basin 2025 release.
Yep.
Smells like South American manure. That is a damn good smelling cigar.
You know what it smells like? Not stolen Amazon Basins.
Nice. As a consumer cigar show, this is what we do is we smoke cigars for you. You can decide if you want to smoke along or if you want to, you know, maybe try it out after you listen to the review or something like that. The Amazon Basin's nothing new, and we did it last year, and it's just one of our favorites. As usual, I bought a box. I do that pretty much every year.
It looks a little different, don't it?
Not really. The only thing that I see different is the 2025 release on it.
Wasn't the other one a little bit more crate-y looking?
No.
No? Okay.
No, it was the same. I think you're thinking of maybe the Alec Bradley or...
Possibly.
That one is a crate. Mm-hmm. But there was a couple crate ones. That one's overdone. The Yagua was in a crate.
Yeah.
You know.
Open
anyway,
crate, yeah.
So we, of course, have to smoke the cigar for it to be a cigar show.
Mm-hmm.
But we like to admire it first. And, you know, we're about to destroy it.
Yes.
Like, that's the manufacturer's recommended use case.
Such a shame.
I know. So, as usual, it's got the braid of tobacco leaf around it instead of, you know, in lieu of a band. Just delicious, rustic wrapper, dark mottled. And this is a Toro. So
yeah, looks like it came from the Amazon.
6x52, decent, you know, chunk of tobacco.
Yours is way darker than mine. What the hell?
Yep. Go ahead and spin yours. Let's see what the variance is on yours. So you got a lot of colors in there. Mine's definitely darker.
Yeah, mine's crazy light.
I'm wearing my Tissot 1853 Powermatic with the carbon fiber face.
Nice.
I love this as a daily wear, although it doesn't have the date, which is the most common thing I use my watch for, just to pick what date, not what time. But what's cool about this, it's slim, light, very versatile. Like, you could wear it with, like, you know, shorts and a polo shirt or a suit. Fits under the cuff because it's slim.
Yeah.
And like the band, for example, the bracelet, a lot of the elements of this Tissot are actually, I like better, and I think they're better executed than my Rolex.
Yeah.
It's just and it's unique. You know, I guess the Rolex was at one point. It's not anymore. Because everyone copies
so many.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. So now that we're done admiring Johnny Midas, we can admire the cigar. Notice that it's just a normal Parejo. Mm-hmm. It's got an open, you know, square cut foot. Nothing pretentious about the cigar, but the branding is pretty on point. You know, it's just rustic enough to remind you of the Amazon. And we will be able to tell all of you guys a lot more about this cigar once it's in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is time for the official cutting, brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. The official cutting is brought to you by Lord Baltimore Distributors. Featuring proprietary blends available nowhere else, Lord Baltimore Distributors are meticulously crafted boutique cigars made in small batches for every palate. Lord Baltimore Distributors, when only the best will do. And as always, we remind you to clip that cigar with authority. No limp-wristed cutting allowed. Not on this damn show.
Nope.
Followed up by a quick handy. All we're doing is tapping the head of the cigar that we just clipped on the back of the hand or the knuckle and knocking all of that tobacco dust out. You know, if you can sort of string these rituals together and get good at them,
yeah,
your cigar smoking experience is much better. And so if you have a great palate, don't waste it by prepping your cigar improperly. And if you have a bad palate, you can improve your experience significantly by following these rituals. Maybe you might finally taste some of that stuff you're looking for. All right, that is a good, clean clip. And now it is time for a good, clean burn line. And to do that, we will have to light the cigar, the official lighting, brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. The official lighting is brought to you by 2C Premium Coffee. Keep your day fueled with delicious coffee from 2C Premium Coffee. Featuring select beans from Bali, Kenya, Ethiopia, and around the world, 2C Premium utilizes continual roasting, so you are always getting a truly fresh cup of premium coffee. 2C Premium Coffee, morning made us. And as always, we remind you, toasted, not roasted.
Toasted, not roasted.
Toasted, not roasted. Treat that cigar with the love and respect it deserves, and it will return the flavor. Notice how, well, you probably can't see that on camera, but my flame is nowhere near it, and every time it starts to flare up, I'm just backing off a little bit. Tobacconist tip of the week. People who tell you they do not have to suck the flame into the barrel of the cigar while they're lighting are only telling the truth on probably 48 ring gauge and lower. This is a Toro. The chances of you being able to actually combust the end.
Oh, shit. What did that happen?
Without drawing the flame in a little bit, that's pretty much just not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is physics. It has to do with the flame. So the flame is not going to get into the cracks of the cigar on the foot because there's actually an air pressure barrier. And so if you were to magnify this, you would see the flame going around like this.
Mm-hmm.
And the air barrier actually starts to circulate and keep this cool. And the...
Man, shut up, nerd.
Oh, that way.
Well, something cool, too, like, if you ever stare at something burning, mm-hmm. the object itself is not burning. It's the vapors coming off the object.
Mm.
So,
Mr. fucking technical over here.
Absolutely. This is part of our job here.
Now, with a smaller ring gauge, that's not the case. You know why? Because it is very easy to sear the wrapper and binder. That's an important step. We should talk about that more. I'll do that next lighting tip. And then the edges, right, around the cigar, you can get to start to smolder, and you can transfer that heat into the entire fuma because it's a smaller ring gauge. With this, it'll have a ring that's lit and not the center. And you can smoke like that for 30 minutes and just have this long stick in the middle that never really combusted. So there you go.
I mean, where you smoke 60s all the time.
Yeah. You just have to.
I need a blowtorch.
Now, well, there is an alternative, which is, you know, something, like a propane torch or something where you have enough fuel, you can spend 2 minutes, you know, just kind of rocking in and out towards the flame.
Well, that's why I use, like the, what did you use last episode? That electrician's torch. I have one of those at home. It's like, you have, like, that huge tank, so you need something like that.
Yeah, with the electricity, that and the precision, I can actually toast the entire face of a 52-inch foot and not have to suck any flame in, flame in. But it's still going in because it's fucking shooting it like a goddamn rocket ship, you know? That's why it lights. Matches, you have to draw that flame in.
Yeah.
Have to. It will just dance all around. By the way, that's why you have to hopefully light a spill.
Yeah, spill.
From the match and still burn off the sulfur before you light the spill.
Yeah, you need to do that.
burn off the sulfur, then transfer it, then light
your cigar. See, that's why I never really like lit with spills. It's just too much work. Mm-hmm. Not that it isn't. Like, it's not that hard, but, like, what the fuck?
Okay, so a couple of puffs in, and our initial tasting notes. CAO Amazon Basin 2025. This is a 6x52 Toro, and the retail is really all over the place. I think in Maryland, you're probably going to pay $14 for it.
Still not hateful.
No, that's average.
For what this is?
Yeah, you can... It just depends, right? Like, it's limited. If you buy a box online, you can get a hell of a deal. You know, the price is all over the place. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, I might just... Let's do a real-time price check. All right. Let's do it on the show.
And I want to see the difference, too, because apparently if you use Android or Apple, you get two different prices on certain objects.
Yeah, let's do a comparison and...
Yeah, but you know what sucks when they put, hey, it's sold out. Well, that doesn't help me. All right, I got one.
Let me go live on Insta. Oh, we're live now. All right. Johnny Midas and El Fumo live. This is the 2025 CAO Amazon Basin. And we are checking it out along with our 2C premium coffee. You know what sucks about this is I'm holding the phone, which means I can't drink my coffee. Yeah, there we go. Hmm. All right. So, yeah, we are researching prices on this thing, and I sort of, you know, I don't have a price because I kind of got these as a, not really a present, but I've got friends that own shops all over, and he got an extra box, and he was like, give me this amount, and I'll send it to you, and that was like the price he paid for it, so I'm not even going to say that on the air. Let's just say the way to wealth is other people's money, but for retail, what do you have online for online pricing?
So, $260.
$260 for a box? Mm-hmm. So, what would this stick price be if you broke it out?
What is it? 18, right?
13. Is that 20 in a box?
No, it's eight. It's saying 18.
18?
Yeah, is that what this... Sorry.
I don't know. I just bought it.
18. Yes, correct, sir.
So what is that, $15?
Yeah, $14.44. Mm-hmm. So 15, yeah, we'll just say 15 to keep it round. So that's not terrible still.
Well, the sad thing is I have not seen this in stores. I know it's limited, and I'm sure that, like, the footprint of where it's distributed, you know, is limited as well.
Can I call this store out? Not in a good way.
No, you can't call somebody out. Come on, man.
It's not nobody local, but they're selling this box for $400. Come on. That deserves, like, a scolding.
Oh, okay, Mr. fucking communist. They can charge whatever they want for the box. You can always say, go fuck yourself.
Well, that's what I'm about to do on air.
Oh, yeah, I think you just did. Okay. All right, so this is the 2025 CAO Amazon Basin. And we, as you can see, we're just getting into it. And you know what's funny about this stick? It reminds me of last year's.
Yeah.
You know? Which is a good thing. Somebody stole my last stick of that. I'm still mad about
that. I think it's two sticks that you lost, not one. Mm. Stolen.
Stolen. He stole it. Yeah. The Dutch. The bloody Dutch. All right. So give me your tasting notes.
I'm getting a little bit of raisin at the tip of the tongue.
Yeah, there is. There's some raisin. Mm-hmm. So I think the really powerful note to me, first of all, there is definitely that same Amazonian sawgrass flavor we talked about last time, which is just this wild, you know, like jungle grass, and a very strong wood component. There's definitely some cedar, but there's also, like, mahogany
yeah.
in there.
So my two big competing notes are the raisin and a mahogany. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting so far.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those are the main carrier notes. I really like it, but this is a robust stick. And, of course, on Burnline Podcast, we... Leafcutter says, Basin is rare near me. Yes, agree, rare near me as well. We're in Maryland, pretty close to D.C.
We're in Maryland, comrade.
If you're from around here, we can say Carroll County, and you know what we're talking about. If you're not from around here, hour outside of D.C. Jay Carroll says, better or worse than last year. Same.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, good. They were both good. Also, I haven't smoked a last year in a while. Yeah. I have fond memories of it.
But you would have had two, but...
Yeah. Yeah. We were going to do a side-by-side, but
they got stolen.
The bloody Dutch.
The bloody Dutch.
All right.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
What?
But as we, you know, get our sort of initial tasting notes on this cigar...
Here real quick for yourself.
What we said last... Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, let's talk about the cigar. So, if you're playing the drinking game, you know, on this podcast, we play the drinking game. Every time we talk about an Ecuadorian wrapper, you have to drink something alcoholic. And this is an Ecuadorian Sumatra wrapper. We already went, you know, ass over tea kettle on the, you know, Sumatra seeds in Cameroon become Cameroon, mm-hmm. and Sumatran seeds in blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know what Ecuadorian Sumatra is. It's Ecuadorian...
It's Sumatra going in Ecuador.
Yeah.
Or Ecuador and going
to Sumatra. So why don't they call Cameroon tobacco African Sumatra? Yeah. Because nobody would buy it.
Right.
So Sumatra just, they have a name as like low-end leaf.
But you know what's shitty though?
And Cameroon's the opposite.
Like most cigar smokers are coffee drinkers, so it's like African,
African espresso shot? From 2C Premium yes. Coffee. Sponsor like, plug.
You know, you like your African coffee. I like African coffees. So
oh, yeah.
Like, dude, if you give me, like, real Ethiopian, I'm like, let's fucking go.
What I think is hilarious is they'll use the word African. I'm like, you know Africa's a whole fucking continent.
Right.
You know, it's like African coffee. Yeah, what part?
Yeah.
The jungle, the desert, the savannah, the mountains. Like, it's a whole fucking continent.
Came out of
the
Mediterranean. Ass.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Binder is Nicaraguan. Fillers, Brazilian Bragança.
Braganca, I think.
It's Bragança in Portuguese, isn't it? It's got the little...
It does, this one doesn't have over. The... Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, probably Bragança.
I think it's Bragança.
Yeah, it doesn't have the accent mark on it.
Colombian and Dominican. All right, so on this podcast, we do not talk about, like...
Body.
You know, body. Yeah, mid, full. And the reason we don't is it's just confusing to people, and most people just kind of repeat whatever the manufacturer says. But body really consists of complexity and strength. For strength on this, it's interesting. I've got like a 5, but it's not super strong.
It's 4 or 5 right now.
But
it's weak.
It has like this. It has this flavor in the back that feels like it might get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, 4 or 5. And then for flavor, we typically talk about basic, mid, or complex. You know, basic is 1 or 2 flavors all the way through. That doesn't mean it's a bad cigar. Padrón is famous for producing essentially simple cigars that taste great all the way through, but it's 1 or 2 flavors. And then, of course, mid is more than that in flavors, and sometimes, usually, like one drops off, one picks up, something like that. And then complex is like a flavor changer.
Yeah.
We're familiar with those cigars. And we haven't smoked enough of this guy to tell you about the flavor complexity yet. Although the 7 that I smoked pre-show were all pretty much mid in complexity, more than 1 or 2 notes, but not really a flavor changer.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how this goes.
Getting this interesting, okay, do a retro, and like right in the middle, I'm getting this interesting note as it comes out the nostril.
That is alum.
Mm.
I would call that alum. Are you familiar with alum?
No.
All right. It's like a mineral spice.
Okay.
And the only reason I know that, folks, is I have a large spinning spice rack that has like 100 spices on it, partly because I'm a cooking nerd, but partly I got it for cigars. And I literally just opened up all of them and started practicing on my palate. And that's why, you know, I will talk about coriander, which, you know, that is a spice that has a sort of citrusy component. It's much closer to most cigars when they say citrus. A lot of the time it's actually coriander. So I would call that alum.
Okay.
Sort of a minerally, that's what you're noticing on that.
Okay.
The middle of your nose on that retro, yeah.
And then as it's coming out my nostril, not like a cooling menthol, but there's like a cooling effect happening.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not, it's a, God, yeah. It's a little, it's like a mix between mint and menthol.
Wild
maybe.
Mint?
Yeah, yeah.
Wild mint.
Yeah, like it's definitely grass-based, you know, like herbal. Yeah, I like that. Starting to get a little bit more of a complex flavor. Mm-hmm. I think the initial light up was really heavy on the wood.
Yeah, it's starting to change already.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm getting something at the top of the palate now. Ooh, spicy.
You know what it reminds me of? So it reminds me of if... So you're talking about, yeah, the hard palate right there. Mm-hmm. If you took Arabian coffee, like you get in UAE, and it's got the saffron and the spices and stuff.
I know what saffron tastes like.
Yeah, if you took that and you added a dash of cayenne pepper into the coffee, that's what it's like.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Damn. Notice the mellow coffee flavor in there, though.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
Dude, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Not like sweet flavor, but like sweet.
Yeah, it's like awesome. Awesome sweet. All right, guys. We're going to sign off on live because my arm is getting tired, but you can catch the rest of this episode, Burnline Podcast, on YouTube or Spotify in video format. Or, you know, if you're interested in audio, you know, like you drive to work like I do and YouTube fucking closes because you're too cheap to pay for YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
You can listen to it anywhere podcasts are cast.
And pretty soon on Pirate Radio.
Soon on Pirate Radio. Thanks for joining. We love you guys. Take care. Stay smoky, my friends. Dude, I fucking love this cigar so far. I wonder if it's just the mood I'm in.
Probably. I think it's different from last year in that effect.
It seems more complex than last
year. Yeah, it has.
It
like,
really does.
It's changing.
And I loved last year's, but...
Yeah. Yeah, because this harvest is every 3 years, I think?
I think it is, yeah. So, you know, one of the things that I said last year was, this cigar reminds me of, like the opening scene to Casino Royale where they're driving out into the jungle in those Land Rover Defender 100s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, some dude, you know, some rich dude with a fucking Panama hat on like you got or something, you know, in a Land Rover, driving through the jungle, but in Amazon, not wherever they were in that show.
Not the other dude in the jungle.
Yeah.
Let's play another dude.
Yeah. You know, but, like, high class, but also, like, rugged. You know, like, who's that guy from the Blacklist? Raymond Reddington? A Raymond Reddington
type. I know
type.
How you're... Yeah.
Yeah. In, like, an old school Land Rover Defender.
He's
smoking
Ventura?
A cigar. Like, this is it. No, that was... That was the Chicago, no crossover.
What was that, though? What was he driving? Was that a Land Rover?
Mm-hmm.
That was in the 90s, so I don't really... Damn. But
did
anyways.
They have cars in the 90s?
Yeah.
Was that...
What?
That was a long time ago, dude. I can't remember the 90s. I was barely 20 years old. All right. We are smoking the CAO Amazon Basin 2025 release. So far, this is a great cigar. And I think it is time for our first break.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll have our tobacconist tip of the week. Don't go away. Now your tobacconist tip of the week with Angel Solorio.
All right, tip of the week. So, most of, I don't have a, you have what, one or two cabinet type?
Yeah.
Humidors?
Three.
They're all glass, right?
All of them are, two of them are wood with glass, and one of them is like a refrigerator, and it's electric humidification and temperature control.
So cool. So you have kind of like a tall stack. So, and then also the same thing for, I have like those.
No, it's not a tall stack. I have them in different rooms so that I'm never that far away from a cigar.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. But
it's like, not an addiction.
Yeah, but they're like this tall, right? They're like.
I have one on the back of the toilet.
Okay. One's in the toilet.
One's in the toilet. Homer Simpson.
Well, anyways, I have the chest desk type ones. I have two of them and then a smaller one. But in the big, I think it's 150 count. But anyways, what you can do since, you know, your electric one kind of like rotates the humidity and air, blah, blah, blah. Well, for us that have the desktop type, you can buy this little circulating fan that's about the dimensions of a credit card. And it's probably, what, 3 or 4 credit cards thick? Probably like $45. I highly recommend buying that.
So to, it circulates the air.
Because in that desktop, it's just sitting there. Nothing's really moving around. Like, you actually have to rotate cigars. Well, I mean, you have to anyway, but just to help yourself out.
No, that's a great... great tobacconist tip. You know, a lot of our listeners out there, you're getting into the hobby, or, you know, you're not at my level of obsession, and you just have your, you know, I have a chest humidor. It's pretty big. It was a gift, actually, when I was leaving Texas. It's got the bottom, and it's got the tray, and a lot of people have these 150 count or so, 200 count, and, you know, you either have your, I have my little humidification pots or strips that you refill. Some people use Bovedas.
The problem is, it's so easy.
It's kind of just sitting there.
Yeah.
Right. So I did a test. I bought these little digital hydrometers and hygrometers. Sorry, and put them in there. And so I did a test, and I filled them both up, rotated my cigars, put them back in, and a day later, the humidity in the bottom was 72, and in the second shelf was 67.
Oh wow.
Right, throw a little fan in there, you get that all mixed together. That's what you're going for. Great tip there.
Yep.
Tip of the hat to the tobacconist tip of the week. All right, and you are on Burnline Podcast with two cigar smoking gents. We are not the best looking, but we're pretty damn good looking. We're not the best cigar smokers, but we're pretty damn good at it. El Fumo, certified retail tobacconist, and Johnny Midas, the man with the cigar. Okay. And, what are we talking about today?
Well, I was just thinking, since we're smoking exotic cigars, exotic tobaccos.
Exotic tobaccos.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what makes this Amazon basin famous. You know, they have their whole story. Did you pull it up?
Yeah.
Is it the same as
last
year?
So it doesn't have, I didn't get the whole thing, but I know what you mean. Like, the story is, so it's grown in a very, like, secluded area by natives.
Remote
as shit. They have to canoe it out to get it to the factory. And it's all done by hand. Like, it was thousands of years ago. Like, how crazy is that? Like, this is probably one of the only tobaccos that'll still cultivate it the way it does from maybe day one.
Yeah, so I think the interesting thing about the tobacco used in the Sierra Amazon Basin is, you know, it's not new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have been growing this tobacco. And or at least that's the story.
Right.
And look, the story is the cigar. Yes. For every cigar, right, it's the story. I've gone into the humidor and I've picked up a whatever, Tatiana or whatever, and it's like, it's just a throwaway.
Yeah.
Like, it's just something to puff on while I do something, whatever. But when you sit down to smoke and enjoy a cigar, the thing is the story.
Yeah.
Right? And more manufacturers are getting savvy to this, right? Well, the story with the Amazon Basin, you know, there's this place in the Amazon Basin where they've been growing tobacco, right? And so this would be Criollo, right? Like, original to the region tobacco. Although, let's not get into it again, cigar taxonomy. Most people think of Criollo as Cuban Criollo.
Yeah.
But in any case, and then CAO, basically these guys bundle these bales up in a fucking canoe dug out. Now, I have traveled in one of these canoes in the Amazon Basin in Peru, and most of them now are like metal, you know, aluminum skin canoes, but they're fucking, I don't know, 20 feet long and 2 feet wide at the widest. Yeah. I mean, they're fucking scary shit. And they've got this motor with a long pole with the propellers on the end, mm-hmm. and they dip it into the water to different levels so they can go in really shallow water mm-hmm. or deep water. And the canoe goes nose up, and, I mean, it's scary as fuck.
Yeah.
And where I was, there was fish in the water that were, like, 12 feet long. The small ones were, like, 6 feet long. Yeah. And you'd see them breach. You just see their back.
Nice.
Fin come out.
Yeah.
If one of those hits your canoe, you're going over, dude.
Say hi to piranhas.
Yeah. But in any case, they throw these bales on there, take them down river, up river, or whatever river, and take them to the factory, and then it's all from there. Mm-hmm. It makes it from the curing barns to wherever they're rolling them. And there's quite a bit of tobaccos in here. The Brazilian Braganza, that tobacco is not from the same region. So there's a good mix in here, but that's the story behind this. And yeah. we would call that an exotic tobacco.
Yeah.
Another cigar that comes to mind is the runner-up CAO, yes. Arcana Thunder Smoke exactly. last year.
Right.
Five different regions of African tobacco in there. Damn good smoke. It was a really good smoke. But, you know, like, if you said it was all from Ecuador, we'd just be like, hey, it's a good smoke.
Yeah.
But it's more special because it's not.
Right.
Right? So for me as a frequent cigar smoker, you know, smoking like a cool cigar with a cool backstory and some exotic tobacco in it, like, it's just cool, you know? It's an extra experience. And tip of the cap, the CAO and anybody else that's, you know, doing this, because it really adds some spice to those of us that maybe enjoy more than one cigar a week
yeah.
type of thing.
Dude, their international series, like, that's what I mean, their international series is the shit. Like, honestly, I don't see anybody else that does it the way CAO does.
Yeah, they really nailed that one. And it's also, it's sort of like, you know, it's not an aficionado cigar. It's not a snobby cigar where they're like, no, we're going to take the best of the best and blend it and make something, you know, whatever. Like, you know, Johnny Walker Blue or something where they're blending and mixing. No, they're like, no, this is specifically Italia.
Yeah.
You know, we're using Italian. But it really reminds me of, like, when you go to a winery and they have a wine flight, mm-hmm. and they're like, this is this region. You know, it's just really, it's really cool, you know. What are some other cigars you're thinking of that have exotic tobaccos in them?
Just pretty much, like I said, anything in the CAO lineup. I'm trying to think of anything else that's not CAO, though.
Well, so there's some mixed in, but let's start with the obvious. Like, if you're going to define exotic first, that helps. Yeah. What is exotic tobacco? Now, I'll be honest with you. There's an element of exotic to Cameroon.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's very limited production, very high quality, and most of it gets snapped up by Fuente. Who gets the rest? Oliva, probably. You know? So, you know, it's not as exotic as some tobaccos, but it's somewhat.
Yeah.
Right? And I think you can include anything with a good Cameroon wrapper. Here's some other exotic sources for tobacco. Now, you could say that, you know, Iowa was exotic, but it also has to be good tobacco. And I'm not putting down anybody's tobacco, but there's good tobacco, and then there's trashy, mass-produced tobacco mm-hmm. that you don't know what's on it, right? You know, China is famous for producing really shitty cigar tobacco. That may change, but mm-hmm. for the time being, also, you know, nobody knows how it's produced, if there's pesticides,
you know. QC, sketchy as yes. shit. And that's not even being yeah. a dick. Like, that's...
It's just true.
It's the honest truth.
You're talking about a huge, huge geographical region, a lot right. of which, you know, is rural. Mm-hmm. But here are some other exotic places that have good tobacco. One is Turkey. Mm-hmm. Turkey has some amazing tobacco. It's usually reserved for cigarettes and pipes.
Yeah.
But they do produce some cigar tobacco, which is mostly limited to the Middle East, some in Europe, and it's not super popular. Yeah, but it is good.
I've had some Turkish pipe tobacco. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's got like this weird spice to it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of famous for that. Here's another one. Peruvian. So Peruvian cigar tobacco, the Peruvian Fuma that I smoked, mm-hmm. was sour and salty. It reminded me of, you ever had a Japanese dried plum?
No, I have not.
Okay, it reminded me of that, right? So it has this, like, you know, fermented fruit flavor, mm-hmm. but the overriding notes are sour and salty. So I always say, if you put Peruvian tobacco in your cigar, it's on purpose, right? And so if I see a cigar that has, and usually it's like one leaf, half a leaf, because mm-hmm. it's very strong or noticeable. So if I see it, I usually pick up any cigar that has Peruvian in it, right? And I would consider that exotic. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no such thing as a Peruvian puro, you know?
Yeah.
There's tobacco. Not exotic, an Ecuadorian wrapper. That is not exotic.
Like, I know there's tobacco grown in Chile. I think we have... Did we have something with Chilean tobacco on it?
I think we did. I don't think it was on the show. Hmm. I think we did.
Yeah, like, there's countries in South America that are now starting to grow tobacco that you haven't heard of before.
Somewhat experimental.
Yeah.
You're trying to see if they can get into the market. So
it's really spicy tobacco, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's Chile tobacco. So some other interesting regions for cigar tobacco, you know, that you might call, I guess, here.
Yeah, honestly, yes.
Is honestly yes what?
Yeah, it would be exotic. Like
yes. So also exotic in the U.S. is Cuban. Mm-hmm. It just is. You know, it's not super easy to get. Mm-hmm. But some other regions that, you know, a lot of folks would consider to be, you know, sort of exotic tobacco. We mentioned Africa. There's South African. There's Kenyan. There's not too much tobacco grown in, like, the Mediterranean area.
I think Morocco grows some, don't they?
But there is some in Morocco.
Yeah. I think France has a...
France does, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like they did in Cameroon before. But anyway, so there's multiple, just, you know, it's just, I don't know if it's an American thing or what, but they talk about Africa, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's like talking about America. Like, have you been to New York? Yeah. Have you been to the middle of Idaho? We are not alike. Yeah. Not alike.
I've not been to Idaho, but I've been to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Rural and New York City. So there's a huge difference, too, like within the state itself.
I was planning on going to overseas this summer, and that's not going to work out. But
oh, shit.
I'm thinking about taking Brenda to Casablanca.
Oh, dude, that'd be dope as shit.
I don't know. I've heard, like, it's not that awesome, but it's just romantic.
Oh.
Marrakesh.
Yeah. At least there won't be any more Nazis there.
That would make it even better. We'll always have Paris.
Is Sam still playing piano there?
Yes, Sam is still playing piano there.
You must remember this.
Yeah.
A kiss is... All right.
I'm not even that old and I know that.
What's in this damn coffee? Yeah, coffee. But it's one of the best movies ever. Mm-hmm. It's one of those movies about nothing that's awesome. You know what else is a movie about nothing, speaking of, because we just had St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
The Quiet Man with John Wayne. You have to watch it. Maureen O'Hara, I think, and John Wayne. It's about nothing. It's like this guy moves back to Ireland and falls in love with this girl and has a fist fight with her brother.
John Wayne's in Ireland?
Yeah.
God, that sounds terrible.
It's just, I mean, it's an amazing, awesome movie about nothing.
But like we've talked about
that. I think it's a John Ford movie.
Oh. Like you were talking about before, or like way long ago, John Wayne was just printing money with the fucking BS movies he was pumping out.
This one wasn't. This is a world-class movie.
I need to see it then.
Yeah. This is a great one.
I still want to see John Wayne being Genghis Khan, though.
Oh, my God.
God, that sounds terrible.
That sounds awful.
You saw that, though, right?
No. Okay, speaking of John Wayne, that brings up Cowboys. That brings up Yellowstone. That brings up Rip. Right? You know who Rip is?
Yeah, I know who Rip is.
Did you know that he played the lead bad guy in Too Fast, Too Furious?
No.
Yeah. So I watch that movie from time to time just because it has Eva Mendes in it. So I have a whole rotation of Eva Mendes movies. What is the one with Mark Wahlberg and what's his name? The comedian, the funny guy. Is it The Other Guys? Desk Pop?
Oh, Will Ferrell. Yeah.
So Eva Mendes in that. So that and Hitch. Like, I have a rotation of Eva Mendes movies. Yeah. Not that I have a type or something. But she's in Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he plays the main... And he looks Hispanic. He's got, like, curly
hair.
That's
true. Because he's supposed to be a Cuban guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Now that I think of it. I didn't even realize that.
Mm-hmm. Trying to... He was fucking young, man.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters. I was only, like, fuck, like, 10?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Dude, those movies were, like, when the first one came out, all the poor people that wanted a fast car were like, oh, my God, I'm going to worship this movie.
Talk about that. I was living in L.A. at the time. All the fucking rice burners.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Just, like, overnight.
Yeah, overnight. Everybody had a...
I mean, there was already a scene, but it just, like... Yeah.
There was Eclipses, Celicas, and Civics just all over the fucking place after that movie.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Of course, nobody had, like, a fucking...
An actual built car.
Like an RX, because they're so hard to build that rotary.
Right, and then the GTRs still weren't allowed to be here. The R34s were not. That was probably what... They were only 10 years in, so...
Supra. Nobody had a fucking Supra. Nope. They couldn't afford them. Yeah, and then in Too Fast, he drives the R34.
Uh-huh.
There was, like, 50 of them that were homologated.
Yeah.
And then they said it was illegal and put a stop to it, but they never did round up the cars that were already here.
Right.
Nowadays, like, one of those originally homologated ones goes for, like, a million.
It's fucked up because they fucking crushed them. Like, mm-hmm. Who crushed them? The... One of the Alphabet...
Yeah, the... Just,
I think it was either... Like, it wasn't even a car-related. Like, it was, like, ATF or DEA.
It was somebody, yeah.
Literally crushed.
I'm like, you can't. It's priceless. That's like crushing the Mona Lisa.
And they don't
care. It didn't come here legally. Tell that to fucking Leonardo da Vinci. So, we are smoking... What is smoking the CAO Amazon base in 2025 release. And why don't you guys drop us a line, burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. If you are listening to this on anything, which you kind of have to be, if you go to the show description, there is a link tree, and you can click contact us right from there, and that will take you to burnlinepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your favorite exotic tobacco, and we will compare notes. As far as my favorite, I would have to say Peruvian. You can get it in several cigars. It's fairly rare. It adds a unique taste. I like it.
For me, it's Ecuador. I mean, it's not exotic, but it's Ecuadorian for me. Ecuador,
well, that's not exotic at all. That's just Ecuadorian.
Yeah. Now, but like 8 years ago, that was exotic.
You think so?
Yeah, it was. Not everybody was using it. Well, maybe more than 8, around 10.
I think a lot of people were using it and weren't advertising it.
It wasn't Joe Exotic.
More tigers than Joe Exotic. All right, so I guess I'm really just starting the second third. I'm surprised how slow this is burning. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, I think it's a little tightly wrapped, but the draw is pretty good.
The draw's great, or at least mine is.
Mine's is really oily compared to yours. You see that?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the QC because you notice that mine is slightly larger ring gauge, yours is oilier, mine is a different color wrapper. I'm having a great time, but I don't know that you're smoking the same cigar. Now, for some context for all of our listeners, I smoked half this box before we got started today. Well, that's not true.
This is 2024. That's why they mixed them in.
Yeah, I set a few aside into my collection, so I didn't smoke half the box, but I smoked like 5. And I will tell you, there is some pretty remarkable consistency between
the
5.
Make sure those don't get stolen.
But I didn't smoke them side by side either.
Because they got stolen.
But. That's my concern is the QC because they do definitely, they're all different. But it's part of the mystique.
Yeah.
Like they're rustic, you know, they're out of the jungle, you know, which isn't actually true, but I love how it sounds. So we'll roll with it.
But let me lay some weight on you. Like, okay, say the story is 100% true, which I don't have a reason, I don't think CAO has a reason to lie about it.
It's true enough, but.
Right. So like this stick is, okay, just to round it off, it's $15. Limited release, world renowned, like everybody's like, gotta have it. All right. This tobacco comes from one of the rarest parts on earth, and it's been grown the same way it has for thousands of years. and if it's the same stuff from like day one. Obviously, it's not tobacco grown on day one, but it's like, this is beginning of the new world shit,
mm-hmm.
and you're only paying $15 for it.
That's what free labor will do for you. I'll have to cut that.
Oh, God.
Anyway, but why don't we take a break? Yeah. I think I need a break. When we come back, we will do our news of the week and then rank this cigar. Don't go away.
Sad news, not tax related or government related. So I won't get you too rustled up yet. STG in total will discontinue 56 SKUs.
Oh, okay.
Here's the actual.
For those that don't know, that's Scandinavian Tobacco Group.
Mm-hmm.
They're one of the large conglomerates.
Yeah.
By the way, the large conglomerates are not really in the tobacco industry. They're in the tobacco business. So they have portfolios of companies, they have portfolios of products, and they are wheeling and dealing on the money side.
Yeah, remember they just acquired Alec Bradley not too long ago?
Yeah.
All right, so here is 8 lines that are absolutely getting the axe. So they're axing lines and axing Vitolas. But since this one's the smaller list, and the important list is they're axing 8 actual lines.
So these cigars will no longer be available.
Correct.
In any Vitola, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's hear it.
So Alec Bradley, the ABCO bundles
are gone. Yeah, I knew that was happening.
These were bad. I smoked these, the Blind Faith.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
Gone.
Yep.
Axed. Bradley Coyol. I never had those.
I did. Wasn't a fan, but
yep.
I figured that as soon as Alec... Well, anyway, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. The Tempest Nicaragua, gone. Mm-hmm. This one actually hurts me. Pilon Añejo. That was actually a good stick.
Yeah, the Pilon Añejo.
Like, fuck, man. I'm like,
it probably cost too much to produce.
Yeah. The Macassar, gone. The Cohiba Macassar, gone. And so, oh, by the way, the Pilon Añejo is the CAO, since you're smoking CAO.
Yep.
Hoyo de Tradicion, gone. And then La Gloria Cubana Medio Tiempo, gone.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. So that was a pretty good stick. What did we call it? The Bahique knockoff?
Mm.
Yeah.
But it was a good knockoff. Yeah.
It was a good knockoff, but also cost to produce and the price they want to sell it at. I'm not really surprised. And STG is the distributor of Cohiba, isn't it?
Correct. American Cohiba. Let's be clear.
Fake Cohiba. Yeah.
For now. Because that shit's still up in the air.
Right,
I don't even
right.
know when the hell that's... Yeah, so...
The shit that we're talking about, if you haven't been following the show for a while, there's an open lawsuit about companies that stole Cuban companies' names.
Mm-hmm.
The exception is Monte Cristo, where the non-Cuban version, they acquired the rights properly. But all of the other ones, they haven't. And... I mean, I think it's a legit argument. You know, I'm sick of there being two of all of these.
Yeah.
I mean, even, what is it, St. Louis Rey? San Luis Rey?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fucking, that's a Cuban cigar. Mm-hmm. But it's also on American shelves. And
yeah. So they're just, I'm not going to, it's a long list, but just a shit ton of Vitolas.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense because, well, not, I don't like that they're doing it, but. Because they acquired more and they're a big company, they're like, let's just start axing stuff that, A, costs too much money and is probably not moving as much. So it's like they're just making the portfolio a little bit smaller to make it more manageable, correct?
Yeah, I think the takeaway for the listeners is if you have a cigar that you smoke on the daily that you love, just check the list.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to buy a couple boxes while you still can. I know there's some cigars I will only smoke a certain Vitola of. So if you have a favorite vitola of something, you better check. And also, it's not, you know, it's not obvious, like, who does Scandinavian Tobacco Group own? No, well, nobody knows. Who does Swisher International, who do they own? Like, nobody knows that. And we had an episode a long time ago, I think before you were on the show, about the structure of the cigar industry, and we talked, we'll probably do that.
It's probably do it again, because it's probably changed. Do that again. Actually, it's changed a lot since then.
Yeah, we'll probably do that again.
2 years ago? Shit.
Yeah.
All right. So, here's another one. We've talked about this because reasons. So, Cuba will meet their expectation in crop growing, and it was actually a pretty low target, and it's just going to get lower every year. But they met their target this year for the Rio, Pinar del Rio, so that region, and I think the crops are just going to get smaller. So I don't know what's, like, we've talked about this. Cuba, the way they're doing their shit is not the right way because of their communist reasons.
Yeah, unfortunately, because of the structure of their government, you know, it's real old school, like Soviet style.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your production target, you know, blah, blah. Instead of, you know, the people who live with the land determining, hey, you know what, this land needs to rest, we need to plant a crop of beans, replenish the soil,
mm-hmm.
rotate crops, all of that. And I don't know if you remember, but back during the Cold War, there was this fake scientific approach to everything, you know, in the Soviet states
mm-hmm.
in particular, where they're like, we're going to use science to maximize the yield and blah, blah. Of course, it didn't work, and millions of Ukrainians starved to death mm-hmm. because, you know, you can't not meet your target, so you just lie. And then there's not enough food, you know, and all of this stuff. And they never did get it off the ground because that's just not how farming works. By the way, we're not that far off in America with our monocrop ag and big agriculture.
It's pretty dangerous. It's actually at a really bad level right now. Nobody's doing anything to turn that around.
Now, thankfully, the farmers are still determining what they plant and when and where, mm-hmm. But it's still super fragile. And we saw this with the eggs and egg prices recently, where bird flu just wipes out, you know, whole farms of chickens.
Yeah.
If you want to call it a farm, it's a factory.
Yeah. So here's a question. Why did our eggs go up and not our chicken?
Why did our eggs go up and not our chicken? I'm going to guess where the infections happened.
You're telling me?
Because they kill the chickens so fast they can't test them.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Any other cigar news of the week?
Yeah. Black Star Line Cigars to release Metalwood MLK at PCA 25.
Okay.
Now, if you notice the abbreviations there, MLK.
So it's a celebration of Martin Luther King.
Yeah, so it's like MLK at one point when he was a young boy, he worked on a tobacco plantation to make some money. So that's a little tidbit. I didn't know that until I read this. So I was like, oh, okay, makes sense. So anyways, he grew up and he cultivated tobacco leaves. So probably not fun, but he did it. So that's why they're like, oh, we're just going to, you know, a note to him and a story that he partook in harvesting tobacco. So, and that's where he learned some of his preaching was doing it at the tobacco plant.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. And then El Septimo announces the $125 double Gran Reserva. So maybe you can get your hands on that one.
I don't know. You know, I've had some El Septimos I like, I've had some I haven't, but the consistent theme I have is that they're not good enough for the price they charge.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they're trying to be a luxury smoke, but they just don't have the knowledge and skill and cultivation to pull it off.
Yeah.
It's
a bit much. I agree. I had to throw it in there because I was like, dude, that's ridiculous. I'm like,
I just don't see paying that for an El Septimo.
Yeah. But the tobacco is pretty cool, so get ready to take a shot. Ecuador, it's going to be an Ecuadorian wrapper over a Dominican binder and fillers from the DR, Ecuador, Honduras, and Nicaragua.
Which you can get in 36 $12 sticks.
Yeah.
Right here at Davidoff Cigars in Westminster right now. So what is it, plated in gold?
No. It says El Septimo on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, they're saying they age in between 7 to 10 years, so we'll see.
Oh, just like the Lord Baltimore Nicaragua?
Yeah.
That I can get in there, that's right. Presencia for $10? Yep, okay.
That's what I was talking about. Oh, and then last bit of news to end it on a happy note. In North Dakota, they defeated another premium cigar tobacco tax increase.
Good.
So they were going to go from 28 to 32%. So just as an example, if your cigar costs like $9.50, it would have cost $12 on top. So, man, that is...
I think it's Rhode Island. I like the way they do it, where it's like, it's a 35% tax on cigars, but it's capped at 2 cents per stick.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Sure.
And they increased their tax revenue dramatically by doing that. Surprise!
Maybe the other Maryland should give them a call.
Maybe they should actually have to fucking take college classes before being elected. All right.
They all went to Harvard. Duh.
Yeah, no. Certainly didn't go to Harvard Business School. All right. On that note, let's go ahead and rank this cigar. We are smoking the 2025 release of the CAO Amazon Basin. One thing I'll say about this stick is it has gotten stronger as I've smoked it.
A little bit.
You know, it's making me a little lightheaded.
Not me. I think we definitely got two different cigars.
I think we did. I'm a little warm. Of course, I'm wearing this jacket, but...
No,
I think I'm going to end with a strength at 6 and definitely a complex flavor. Although that woodsy note carries through the whole way.
Yeah.
It's the strongest carrier note, I think.
I'm at complex, but I'm at still 4 or 5 for strength.
Okay. So there you go from both of us. Let's talk about presentation. Love the rustic presentation. It just goes. It's not pretentious, and I think they sort of maxed out what they could do to release it at the price point they did.
Yeah, they just keep it the same.
You know, nothing to knock your socks off, but definitely memorable. I think I'd go a 7.
Okay, 7.
I think that 7 is flashy. Pretty good. All right, and then construction. So we had no construction issues. Biggest thing that I would say is the lack of quality control. I mean, these are literally different sizes.
Sizes,
like
color.
Yours is a 51, mine's a 53. Mine's much darker. Yours is oilier.
Yours is matte, yeah.
So, I mean, for construction, I mean,
as far as quality of construction itself, like holding itself together, I would say 8, 9.
Yeah, I think so. I think let's do 8.
Yeah.
For a final number.
But it's visual construction. It's like completely. Well, can we see what else?
Not
we got
really.
Going?
I mean, we got the cello on the outside, but. Well, you can see.
Like, I definitely got the lighter of the bunch. Those look pretty dark like yours.
Like, if we arrange them in color, right? Like, it's a pretty big...
I got the lightest. I can definitely tell.
Sort of, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do an 8 for construction.
Okay.
It's pretty good construction, and it... I don't know if... it's not all cosmetic, because we've gotten slightly different experiences. All right, so price?
Dude, 9. I like
9?
It. It's freaking approachable as shit for a limited release.
I think that's a little high. I mean, average for a Toro is like $14. This is like $14.50.
Yeah.
I was more at like a 6.
Oh, okay. I was just saying for what this is, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not that limited. I don't know. 8?
All right, we'll go 8.
8. That's a little hard. All right, flavor. So here's my take on flavor. I like it. It's a little different. It's a little unique. It's not something I would go back into the humidor for just for the flavor.
Yeah.
It's better than average.
It's different.
It's different. I was kind of at like a 6. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Yeah, 6, 7.
All right, we'll do 7. It puts it at a 30. It's a good flavor. It's different. It was really complex. I like it. But then it's like, yeah, but for $15, and, you know, it's more like 17 here in Maryland most places. But
yeah,
for that price, man, I got so many choices. I mean, I can just go get a fucking Hemingway. You know, once you put it in context, it's like, I don't know if the flavor's that great.
Or 14 Tatianas.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'll take the CAO. So that brings us to experience. I think it's a great experience if you're like, I don't know, play an explorer. You know, I do think like
it's expensive enough, you're not doing much with it. Like, this is not a yard work dog walker, but you could grill with it.
You can chill in the backyard.
Chill in the back porch. It's a big enough ring gauge. You can smoke it outdoors without constantly fussing over it.
You can drive and smoke it.
You could drive and smoke it. And then, you know, it's really capped out at the enjoying it with a friend level. It's not a gift or, you know, it's not special enough for, like, hey, guys, look what I got, you know, kind of thing. So, you know, I think I'm, like, at a 7 for experience. Does that sound about right?
That's fine.
So that brings the total score for our CAO Amazon Basin 2025 release to 37, which is pretty good, high 70s. If you haven't had one yet, go out and grab it. If you had last year's release and you liked it, sure. If you didn't, you won't like this one better. It's really similar, I think. And it just it does have that jungle flavor to it. That's what I'll call it, a jungle flavor. And if you like that flavor, man, you're going to love this cigar.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you won't. So I think that about wraps it up for the show.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on Burnline Podcast. We will see you guys again next week.
Oh, did you know that MGM, Amazon Prime, or Amazon bought the rights to 007?
Really?
Yeah.
Good.
I don't know if that's good or not, though.
Fucking Barbara Broccoli's been fucking it up forever.
It's gonna...